Rules, rules, and more rules. Every game I've ever played has had them. Some have very fat rule books, like Pinochle, and others, like Uno, it's a small piece of paper. Over the summer break, I was able to, excitedly, teach my kids how to play Settlers of Catan, a strategy game. And that rule book, while mighty big, is definitely worth learning, right? Yes. And rules, we know, my friends, are not always stagnant, right? Sometimes rules change. Take professional basketball. One Google search will show you that in 1910, coaches were not allowed to talk during play. In 1911, that changed. And in 1956, the free throw distance was changed from 6 feet to 12 feet. In 1976, the dunk was made legal again after being banned in 1967. And it wasn't until 1985 that the clock shot was introduced, and it changed from 45 seconds to 35 seconds 10 years later. The biggest change for me in basketball is that now, during free throw, only 6 people can be in the lane, not 8, like it was in 2008. Rules. For some of us, rules give us clarity, right? They provide clear boundaries and expectations. For others, rules feel like a cage placed around them, restricting them and telling them what they can or cannot do. In our Presbyterian world, we like our structure and our order. Decently and in order, right, is the coined phrase so often heard in Presbyterian circles. We actually have 2 big fat books making up the Presbyterian Church Constitution, the Book of Order and the Book of Confession. One affirms what we believe, and the other shows us how we are to live together as the church. And we, at the same time, we still aren't unfamiliar, right, with the Jesus that we find in the text today. There he goes again, making a very simple law, one of the 10 commandments, I might add, and pushing the boundaries of its meaning. The religious leaders are furious with Jesus for healing this crippled woman because the rule was simple. You don't do anything on the Sabbath. There were now a few exceptions to that had developed since Moses received the 10 commandments about 800 years prior on Mount Sinai. People were allowed to tie and untie their donkey, as Jesus cites in the text. And after a little bit of digging into Jewish law, we also find that life-saving miracles were also allowed. But just plain old healing, like Jesus was doing, not allowed. Now, Jesus responds to their indignant critique and tells them their priorities are wrong. They are protecting the institution instead of providing structure that gives people freedom. I mean, they might say, this woman has been crippled for 18 years. What's one more day? It's not like there's a threat that she's going to die. A rule is a rule. And yet for Jesus, allowing this woman to be bound one more day was not okay. He could offer her real life, a life where she could stand tall. And so he broke the rule, and he healed her. This text challenges the many who have stepped into an assumed way of understanding the scriptures. And it invites us to reflect on the often overly structured rules we think we are supposed to believe in and live by. It challenges the church to take a step out of our very well-established norms, and it welcomes us to reconsider what does it mean to be a new creation in Christ, given the world that we live in. The Sabbath was given to humanity to live in and to celebrate the abundant life that God offers each of us. time away from the grind to rest and be. All of us, like that woman so long ago, are weighed down and we are bent over by the brokenness of the world. For some, it's the societal issues that lay over everything, like patriarchy or economic injustice. For others, they are bent over simply because of physical conditions or illness. For others, it may be mental illness, the invisible, like depression or anxiety, or maybe even simply just grief. And in those spaces of where we are bent over, that is the place. That is the place Jesus shows us in our text for today, where he enters. Christ takes our hand and commands each of us in this moment and every moment to stand up. You aren't meant to be weighed down, Christ says, because you are created for wholeness and abundant life. God yearns for full, deep, broad, and complete lives where love abounds and where peace always resides. One theologian writes, "The kingdom of God does not accommodate our sense of propriety and polite timing, even when it comes to our most well-intentioned theological convictions. It is God's will to heal human creatures. Now, the slightest delay to that healing indicates resistance to Jesus' kingdom mission." I mean, we know we need rules and structure, or else we have anarchy. I mean, you're looking at a rule follower. It drives Jason crazy that even if no one is around, and I'm at a red light and there's a no turn on right signal, I don't turn. And it also drives my children crazy. Yes, your bedtime is still 8:30. You should have thought of fill in the blank for any excuse to not go to bed before bedtime. Now just go brush your teeth. But rules, and many of you probably have been the recipient of them, rules can also be restrictive and oppressive. We can be so focused on following the rules that we miss seeing God calling us outside of the structure that we have set up for ourselves to free others. At times, the rules we follow in our personal lives, in our church, in our world, not meant to be harmful, can be a means to hurt and injure others. Dr. King, during the civil rights movement of the 60s, was often encouraged by his white colleagues to slow down. Change takes time, they would say. His response in a letter from the Birmingham jail echoes Jesus' example. He writes, "I received a letter this morning from a white brother in Texas which said, 'All Christians know that colored people will receive equal rights eventually. But is it possible that you are in too great of a religious hurry? It has taken Christianity almost 2,000 years to accomplish what it has. The teachings of Christ take time to come to earth. All that is said here grows out of a tragic misconception of time,' he writes. 'It is the strangely irrational notion that there is something in the very flow of time that will inevitably cure all ills. Actually, time is neutral. It can be used either destructively or constructively. I'm coming to feel that all that people of ill will have used time more effectively than people of goodwill. We must come to see that the human progress never rolls on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and persistent work of men willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes the ally of the forces of social stagnation.'" In other words, sometimes God's realm breaks in and we must respond. taking one another's hands to lift one another out of whatever continues to oppress and harm and injure. For God is inviting each of us to wholeness. Even though we like to split things down the middle and see ourselves either as a rule setter or a rule ignorer, a rule buster or a rule defender, if we take even a small step back from that dichotomy, all of us are simply the crippled woman bent over, unable to see the path before us, straining to make sense of the world. Yet despite all of our sinfulness and brokenness, Jesus still offers us healing and hope. Jesus offers forgiveness. Jesus is showing us that instead of worrying what needs to change and what doesn't, we, the church, the followers of Jesus, need to look more for him and not to the rules. We must be able to hear Christ call our name, remembering that we have been saved from our own brokenness. We must embrace Christ's wisdom and freedom, which will give us the clarity to create structures for our time that grant us freedom. We need rules. But Jesus also shows us that we need them only as a means to give freedom. And when the rules get in the way, we need to see through them to the humanity and the sacredness of the other. That is what Jesus cares about. He doesn't seem to care too much about the ways things have been for the sake of the rules. No, Jesus is a man who sees the rules as a means to an end, to provide freedom, wholeness, and peace. To help people be as they are created to be. And when those get in the way, the rules need to change. So may we have the courage to look beyond our customs and rules to find the author and perfecter of our faith, the one from whom true blessings flow and follow wherever Christ leads. Amen.